and gave him a troubled smile as he entered the council chamber. Yoda, Windu, Ki-Adi-Mundi, Sesi-Tin, and Plo Koon were present. All eyes turned to Kenobi as he entered and bowed to Master Yoda. Yoda's expression was hopeful, but almost immediately he looked down and his ears drooped.
"No word have you had from Master Vos?"
he said heavily. "None," Kenobi said.
"No word from and no word of. It's as if he's completely vanished. As we discussed, I've continued to show up at our prearranged meeting place and time."
"Perhaps Ventress discovered his identity,"
Plo Koon said.
"And killed him for deceiving her."
"I think not," Kenobi said. "If such had been the case, Ventress would have made sure that word of her displeasure with the Council reached us."
He did not elaborate on the various grisly ways she might have done so.
"Asajj Ventress is a known Sith,"
Ki-Adi-Mundi said.
"Former Sith,"
Kenobi corrected, marveling not for the first time that he was now in the curious position of defending Ventress's honor.
"Is anyone even capable of being a former Sith?"
Windu demanded.
"It's possible he's tricked Master Vos into going down a dark path with her. And now we have a rogue Jedi on our hands."
"Possible," Kenobi agreed. "Provided any of you really think that Quinlan Vos is so weak-willed that he'd forsake everything he's known his entire life. The man was raised in the temple."
"A powerful allure is that which is forbidden,"
Yoda said. "Until we know something, anything for certain, it's unwise to speculate," Kenobi said.
"We don't even know if he's still alive."
Mace's eyes were dark.
"This could be part of the plan."
"It could be," Mace said. "Or he could be dead. The point is we don't know. And we should, Master Kenobi. We should."
Ventress stood for a moment in the doorway of Chalmun's cantina, letting her eyes adjust to the darkness from the blazing sun's light of Tatooine. This was not the path she would have preferred to tread, but she could think of no other option. It felt like eons ago when she had entered it for the first time. Then, too, she had been reeling with a devastating sense of loss after Grievous had slain her entire clan. But then, she had been stumbling, directionless. Now, Asajj Ventress had but one laser-keen sense of purpose. She scanned the crowd, and her gaze fell upon a familiar green reptilian face above a bright yellow flight suit. Familiar, too, was the perky young woman with bright orange pigtails and lavender skin. And, yes, he was there, too. Ventress steeled herself and headed for them. Bossk spotted her, and his face grew even sourer with a grimace. Ventress hadn't realized such a thing was possible. He leaned into a booth to talk to an unseen occupant. A moment later, two attractive Twi'lek girls slipped out of the booth, throwing Ventress wary glances.
"Hey!"
called a voice Ventress remembered, boyish and intense.
"I'm not paying for all of you."
Bossk folded his arms and glared at her as she approached. In no mood for banter, Ventress stared him down. After a second or two, he threw up his hands in a, "Hey, all right, I'm backing off" gesture, stepped back, and she slid into the booth across from Boba Fett. His eyes widened in shock. Then he scowled.
"No name," he said. "You've got a lot of guts coming here."
Ventress ignored the comment. She leaned in and said quietly and with sincerity,
"I need your help."
Boba Fett's double take was priceless. Then he cupped a hand exaggeratedly to his ear.
"I'm sorry?"
Ventress choked down the urge to strike him.
"You heard me."
He smirked.
"No, I don't think I did. Say it again."
For some reason, the irritation bled out of her. All she felt was exhaustion, and a hopelessness that needed to be shut down right now, lest it run over her completely. She repeated in the same calm voice,
"I need your help."
He scoffed, shaking his head in disbelief.
"After what you did to me on Quarzite?"
As she had suspected, Fett indeed had not gotten over being insulted, force-choked, bound, gagged, and tossed into a trunk. Even if Ventress had left everyone their fair share of payment. He got up to leave, disgusted. Ventress shot her hand across the table, shoving him back into his seat.
"Sit,"
she snapped, stabbing a finger at him.
"Why should I?" "Because I need your help."
Lotsrotzi and Bosk, hovering just outside the booth, exchanged glances. Lots shook her head in disbelief.
"And?"
Ventress said, including the two of them in the conversation.
"I'm willing to pay. I want to hire you and your syndicate."
That got everyone's attention, even Bobus. He looked unconvinced as he replied,
"That's going to be expensive. If I even decide to bother with you,
I have the money."
His brows drew together.
"Credits won't square you and me."
He took a swig of his drink and drew his sleeve across his mouth.
"Not even 100,000 credits?"
Ventress asked. Lot's eyes grew large as saucers, and Bosk's jaw closed in astonishment. Boba looked at Ventress evenly.
"No. Not even 200,000 credits."
Ventress had underestimated how badly she had wounded the boy's pride. It was proving to be an expensive mistake.
250.
That got him. Boba's mouth hung open for 3 full seconds before he closed it. Lots and Bosk glanced at each other, and then, in perfect step, they moved forward.
"We'll take the job,"
Bosk said.
"Absolutely,"
Lots agreed immediately. Boba stared at them.
"But you don't even know what it is."
Lots shrugged.
"For 250,000 credits, I don't care."
Boba looked at Ventress, then at his bounty hunters. He threw up his hands in surrender.
"Fine,"
he sank back sullenly.
"But the syndicate gets its cut. You guys have fun."
Fett took another long pull at his drink. He looked profoundly irritated with all of them.
"No deal,"
Ventress said bluntly.
"I want the whole team."
She counted them out on her fingers.
"Bosk, Lots, Heisinger, Embo, and Boba Fett."
Boba narrowed his eyes. He looked at her in silence for a long moment. Then he leaned back and asked,
"What's the job?"
Ventress had planned out exactly what she was going to say.
"A rescue mission. One man on Sereno. We get in, we get out, you get paid."
Boba considered.
"You know the layout of where we're going? The defenses, the weak points?"
"As if I lived there,"
she replied smoothly. Boba suddenly slammed down his drink and leaned into her.
"It can't be that easy. There's more to this than you're saying. I know it."
Ventress knew something, too. How to play Fett.
"There are always variables. Any experienced hunter knows that."
She put exactly the right amount of inflection into the word. And sure enough, Boba fairly bristled at the implied slight. He grabbed his helmet, having obviously had enough of the conversation.
"We get paid up front or no deal. Transfer the credits today."
Ventress inclined her head. She'd been expecting this demand, just as she'd expected to have to up her initial offer. The sum represented almost everything she had saved up during her time as a bounty hunter. But if they could do it, if they could get Boss out of that hellhole where Dooku was doubtless torturing him, Ventress wouldn't care if she earned another credit as long as she lived. Lots and Bosk looked like children who'd just been given presents.
"Yes!"
hissed Bosk gleefully. Lots, grinning from ear to ear, playfully punched his breastplate in a show of solidarity. Boba still looked as if he had taken a bite of something particularly nasty.
Go get Heisinger and Embo ready. We'll run through the basic layout of the mission in 1 hour.
They nodded and practically skipped off. He watched them go, then turned back to Ventress.
For the record.
Ventress looked up to find his blaster 3 centimeters from her face. This she hadn't expected.
I know you're going to betray us at some point. They might not see it, but I do.
She gazed at him evenly, hiding her surprise.
And also, just for the record,
he continued pleasantly,
I'm not the kid you left behind on Quarzite. You double-cross me again. You'll pay for it.
He twirled the blaster around his finger before holstering it, then shoved his helm on his head and followed Bossk and Lotz.
Chapter 23. More time passed. More torture. More screams. More nightmares in the few moments when Voss passed out long enough to have them. He dreamed of darkness and blood, of fear, of danger known, which was bad, and danger imagined, which was worse. The worst dreams of all were of Ventress. Sometimes she was his torturer, sneering as she blasted him with force lightning, reveling in his pain. She told him that everything she had said, everything they had shared together, was a lie, and reveled in the fact that this hurt him far more than physical pain. But the dreams Voss dreaded even more than those were the ones where he held Ventress in his arms. When she told him she loved him, and he knew it to be true. His senses had grown dull. He had no taste or hunger for food, no sensitivity to anything but the agony of the various methods the droid used to inflame his nerves or lacerate and then heal his body. Voss alternated between numb and sluggish and excruciatingly alive with torment. He ate only because some part of him knew he needed to keep up what little strength he had left. He, Dooku, and the droid had been performing this dance for enough time that Voss's muscles were beginning to weaken, except for those that screamed constantly from being placed in positions they were never designed to execute. The dreams this time had been particularly bad, so when the droid came to awaken him, Voss actually welcomed it. He was surprised when the droid deactivated the force field that had held him suspended by his arms. Unable to catch himself, he fell awkwardly as he dropped a meter to the floor. Stiff from lack of movement for so very long, his shoulders and arms were on fire, and Voss bit back a scream. It felt like the snake venom that had coursed through his system on Dathomir, which led back to thoughts of Ventress.
Get up,
the droid ordered. When Voss failed to comply, the droid signaled. 2 battle droids appeared and snapped to attention. The torture droid deactivated the force field, and the battle droid stepped inside. They wrenched Voss's arms behind his back and snapped on a pair of binders. Then each took one of his arms. As they dragged him out of the cell, the agony in his arms increased 1,000-fold, and once again, blackness descended. Voss came to when he was tossed to the ground. He lay there for a moment, then became aware of the smells. Roasted meats, the tang of freshly cut fruits, the sweet fragrance of just-baked pastries. Real food, not the tasteless stuff he had been forced to consume. Moisture flooded his mouth, and for the first time since the hideous ordeal began, his stomach rumbled. Slowly hissing, he pushed himself up to a kneeling position and took in his surroundings. The room was large and lavish. Fine art from a variety of worlds hung on the walls. The carpeting beneath Voss was thick and comfortable. Soft music came from somewhere, and a large, ornately carved cabinet hung on the wall. All these things Voss noticed only fleetingly. His eyes were riveted on the display before him, which was both inviting and obscene. There were quite literally dozens of foodstuffs on a dining table that could easily have seated 16. And at the head of it, pouring effervescent wine into a fluted glass, sat Count Dooku. He lifted the glass in a toast to Voss.
"Welcome,"
he said, and drank. This was perhaps the worst torture yet, but Voss steeled himself. If Dooku thought to see him beg for table scraps, the Count would be sorely disappointed. Voss swallowed so he could speak.
"Well, look at you and your pampered life."
His voice dripped contempt.
"Your servants, your feast, your palace must have been so easy for you to turn your back on the Jedi Order."
Dooku cut another bite from the thick, rare steak and lifted it to his mouth. Juices dripped onto the plate. He chewed with obvious enjoyment, dabbed at his lips with a napkin, and then replied,
"Yes,"
he agreed.
"I live a privileged existence now, but like you, Voss, I too was taken from my home as an infant and raised in the Jedi Temple. It was only later in my life that I discovered my true heritage, a legacy of power and pedigree that was far too intimidating for the Council to accept."
A plate was set at the far end of the table. Food was within easy reach of it, and the flute of wine had been filled. Clearly, Voss would be welcome to dine with the Count, if he requested it. Voss tried to decide which was the smarter course of action. Refusing to give Dooku the satisfaction of eating, or taking the chance to consume some real food that would increase his strength.
"Pedigree," he scoffed. "Like an animal. You could have done so much, helped so many people. Instead, you use that legacy to spread your evil throughout the galaxy."
The fragrance of the freshly baked bread in front of him almost broke him. Dooku rose from his seat, setting down his napkin and picking up his glass of wine. He walked to the entrance of a large, open balcony and pulled back the gently billowing curtains. For the first time since he had been taken, Voss had a sense of time. It was night, here on whatever world he was on, and the stars glittered serenely, teasing him with a freedom he didn't have.
"Evil? What a childish notion. Unworthy of you, Voss. Today's lesson begins with this."
He turned and regarded Voss, the glass still in hand.
"There is no good or evil. Only those with power and those without it."
Voss grunted in disgust. He had decided against eating. If he started, he wasn't sure he could stop, and he refused to let Dooku see just how famished he was.
"Your master Thoum understood this."
Dooku tossed out this verbal grenade with utter casualness.
For a moment, a sheet of red darkened Voss's vision, and he was so outraged he couldn't breathe. "How dare you speak his name? You murdered him!"
Dooku looked convincingly surprised, and then almost sad.
"Ah, so that's what she said. Given your, relationship with Ventress, I wondered if you knew the truth. It was she who killed your master, not I."
"You lie!"
shouted Voss, trying to rise. The droid shoved him back down.
"No, Quinlan. I don't have to lie."
Dooku shook his head. He stepped into the hall and motioned. A moment later, a squat technical droid rolled into the room. Dooku went to it and tapped a few controls as he spoke.
"One of the many advantages of having a droid army in the field is the ability to study the battle recording. Win or lose, I always find the holorecord illuminating."
A final tap, and Dooku straightened. The droid chirped and then began to project the scene of a battle on a planet Voss couldn't identify. He could make out the figures of what seemed like countless battle droids, locked in combat with hundreds of clones. A major conflict, then. Voss's throat tightened, dreading what he would see.
Magnify,
ordered Dooku. The hologram shifted, then narrowed its focus to a handful of combatants. One of them was Master Tholm. Despite himself, Voss gasped slightly. He was surprised at how painful it was to behold an image of his master. Tholm's gray-streaked black hair was held back in a long ponytail. He stood his ground, his lightsaber green as Voss's own. A blur as he shouted out orders and cut down battle droids. Suddenly, there came two flashes of red. A woman, bald, pale as the stars, clad in black leather and expertly wielding twin lightsabers, appeared. Asajj Ventress. The Jedi and the Sith engaged in a heated fight. Ventress's lightsabers had unusually curved hilts, so that she needed to wield them in a slightly different manner from the standard straight lightsabers. Voss watched, forgetting to breathe, horrified but unable to tear his gaze away from the brutal spectacle. Then, so swiftly Voss couldn't even see what happened, Ventress had gotten the upper hand. Tholm's lightsaber went flying. Ventress pointed both her weapons at Tholm. He raised his hands and knelt before her, surrendering. Ventress ran him through. One glowing blade pierced Tholm's heart. The other gutted him. Voss's beloved master fell to the ground.
Freeze,
came Dooku's voice, as if from far away. Voss's blood thundered in his ears. He stared at the miniature Tholm, dead, and at the tiny Ventress, standing before the treacherously slain Jedi, and grinning in triumph.
Ventress was a fair apprentice, Dooku continued. However, as she became more powerful, her lust for bloodshed could not be sated. She grew ever more violent and unpredictable.
Voss stared, his gaze roving the face he had caressed, the lips he had kissed.
She slaughtered Master Tholm against my orders. We had the battle won. There was no reason to justify the death of an old friend.
Dooku's voice, bizarrely, was kind, like that of a father comforting a devastated son.
But why would she do this? Keep this from me.
Voss's voice sounded shattered, even to him.
Ventress has a hunger for power. That is what she truly desires. She will do anything, lie to anyone, to get what she wants.
Dazed, Voss shook his head. His whole body ached from emotion.
No, no, not to me.
Dooku stepped closer, staring down at Voss.
Especially to you. I know. You thought you knew her, as I did. You thought she cared for you. But she was doing nothing but spinning a web of lies. Lies that I can free you from, as I freed myself.
Voss didn't answer. His gaze was fixed on the droid that had shown him such a horrible truth. Or had it? He blinked. There was something about Dooku and recordings. What was it? And then he remembered. Now Voss stared up at the count, his mind clear and focused once again, his voice strong. You falsified this recording, Voss snarled. You erased yourself and put Ventress in your place. It's easy to do. You've tried to fool the Jedi with this trick before.
Dooku looked at him sadly.
You grasp at straws, Voss. I understand why. It is a hard thing to accept that the world you thought you knew was not the truth. It is difficult to step away from everything, to let go. But do it, Voss. come away from that false world. Join me.
I will never join you!
Dooku turned away, pacing, now and then glancing back at Voss as if trying to make up his mind about something.
I think I must show you the cabinet after all,
he said.
Truly, I would have spared you this if I could have. Remember that I did try.
The cabinet? Voss repeated. What's that? Some fun new style of torture?
That all depends on you, Quinlan. It will truly be in your own hands.
I think I'd like to go back to my prison cell. I prefer straightforward torment to this preposterous game you're playing. You won't break me, Dooku!
You know, I believe I won't,
agreed the Count, surprising Voss.
But you will break all the same, and it will be your choice to do so.
Dooku walked toward the end of the room and stood before the cabinet. Voss tensed, not knowing what new horror Dooku would subject him to this time.
Your proof is in here,
Dooku said.
You think if your little hollow show didn't convince me, something else will? Voss sneered.
I do,
the Count replied with complete confidence. A chill shivered through Voss. Dooku seemed so certain. Voss felt sweat break out on his forehead and beneath his arms. What the hell was in that deceptively ordinary-looking cabinet? With one final, almost regretful glance at Voss, Dooku opened the cabinet's double doors. Mounted with great care, resplendent against a padded background of blue velvet, hung at least 20 lightsabers. A portion of the case was bare. Dooku had left room for the collection to expand. Voss swallowed hard, fighting nausea, unable to tear his eyes away.
Whenever Grievous or Ventress cut down a Jedi, they brought me these little souvenirs of the battle,
Dooku said in a casual tone.
They make for quite the handsome display, don't you think?
I remember that battle.
You were there?
No. Dooku bragged about it to me. It was he who killed your master. He even kept Tholm's lightsaber as a trophy.
Blood thundered in Voss's ears. The hilts were crafted of metal or wood or even gems, each as unique as the Jedi who had made it. With a soft sound, Voss closed his eyes and turned his head.
Make him look,
Dooku ordered sharply, and there was steel in his voice. A battle droid dug its metal fingers into Voss's hair and yanked his head back.
I believe in the old adage, know your enemy. I've spent a considerable amount of time studying the Jedi Masters. I know their strengths, their weaknesses, and their unique skills. For instance, I know that you, Quinlan Voss, have the rare gift of psychometry.
With a sickening realization, Voss suddenly knew what Dooku was about to do.
Free his hands,
Dooku said to the droids. Voss stayed completely still as the droids obeyed their master. He flexed his wrists, ignoring the sensation of numb limbs tingling to life, and got to his feet, stumbling awkwardly.
I'm certain you'll want to determine the truth in a way it is impossible for you to deny.
A thought seemed to occur to him.
Although, I imagine it will be more than a trifle unpleasant. Isn't it true that in addition to seeing and hearing things regarding the object you touch, you will also experience what its owner felt?
Count Dooku smiled and held out Tholm's lightsaber. For a long moment, Voss simply stared at the weapon. Then, uttering a wordless cry, he launched himself at Dooku. The Count did not appear to have been expecting this, and Voss was able to wrap his hands around the other man's neck and squeeze, using the force to increase the pressure. But even so, he was much weaker than the Count, and Dooku broke the chokehold and sent force lightning through Voss's body. While Voss writhed on the floor, Dooku got to his feet and ordered the droids.
Take him back to the cell, but do not restrain him. And,
he added, handing one of them Tholm's weapon,
take this with you.
The droids each took one of Voss's arms and hauled him up. Panting, Voss lifted his head.
You can make me touch it, Voss gasped. But you can't force me to read it.
I know,
Dooku said mildly.
But you will, Voss. Eventually, you will.
Chapter 24
Ventress felt a mingled stab of worry and nostalgia as Slave One landed at Serenos spaceport. Her most recent visits to this world had been her two failed assassination attempts. Now she couldn't care less about Dooku. Her hatred and burning desire for revenge was easily put aside for something so much more important. Funny how one's priorities could shift so completely in the most unexpected of ways. Her boots clanked on the metal of the ramp as she, Lots, Bosk, Highsinger, and Boba descended. Embo disembarked from his own saucer-shaped guillotine, but not alone. His Anuba, Marok, trotting down the ramp from his own private entrance, fell into step with his master. Ventress had worked with all of them but Embo. He was a Cayuso, swift and agile. He had one of the more interesting tools she'd run across, a hat that did triple duty as accessory, shield, and weapon. C-21 Highsinger, as far as she knew, was that rare thing, a unique droid. The spires of Dooku's fortress towered, catching the morning sunlight. They were beautiful, elegant, and refined. The place looked both too lyrical to be a prison where unspeakable torment was performed, and too beautiful to be the home of such a wretched creature as Dooku.
We're coming, Voss.
Ventress pointed at it, her body as calm and poised as her thoughts and emotions were roiling.
There's the palace.
And you're certain this Count Dooku won't be there?
Lots pressed. Ventress gave the younger woman a scornful glance. Lying smoothly, she replied,
He has an entire war to manage. He's got greater things to worry about and better places to be.
Fett gnawed his lower lip, gazing at the spires.
I don't like it. What did your friend do to get himself imprisoned by a man like Dooku, anyway?
She'd known the question would be asked, and replied with the simple truth.
Honestly, he tried to kill him.
Lots whistled. The bounty hunters, all with raised eyebrows, looked at one another. Clearly they were kicking themselves for not asking this question sooner.
Unbelievable,
said Fett.
So this is why you agreed to pay us in advance.
Ventress planted her hands on her hips.
Look, the plan is simple. You're running a distraction. That's it. I'll do the hard part and break into the prison. Just hold the guards' attention. Think you can manage that?
Boba bristled.
Easily,
Bosk said.
They're most likely just droids.
Droids!
Protested Highsinger. Bosk ducked his scaly green head.
Sorry, pal. No offense.
Highsinger was obviously not entirely mollified.
Try to make it look like you're stealing a starship,
Ventress said.
We don't want to tip our hand that this is a rescue attempt.
Lots laughed.
Why stop at the look-like part? Let's just steal the thing.
Yep. Bonus.
Bosk agreed. At Ventress's expression, Fett laughed out loud.
Don't forget, you asked for our help.
I'm having second thoughts,
she murmured, as they set off for the palace. Ventress had lived here long enough to know how Dooku liked things to run. She remembered exactly where and at what time supplies were delivered to the palace. Tucked away out of sight behind the opulence of the palace's imposing entrance was a delivery area where encroaching trees had been cleared away so that shuttles could land. It would be easy to ambush the droids tasked with offloading the supplies. The trees, not far from the landing area, offered plenty of cover. It was so obvious that for a brief moment, Ventress wondered why an attack such as the one they were planning had not been attempted before. Then she realized that any sane person would balk at simply walking up to Dooku's battle droid protected palace, rear entry though it might be. She checked her chrono.
"Any minute now," she told her companions. "How many shuttles will there be?"
asked Lots. Ventress shrugged her thin shoulders.
"It depends on the size of the delivery. There's room for anywhere from 1 to 5 to land in this area."
"Great,"
muttered Lots.
"Quiet,"
Fett said. They waited. Within 5 minutes, they could all hear the sound of approaching ships.
Ventress listened closely.
More than one, certainly. Perhaps 3. Not as bad as it could be, but it would certainly present Fett's team with a challenge. They waited for the signal from Boba. The young bounty hunter leaned against a tree trunk, his face hidden by his helmet. One of the shuttles settled down, followed by 2 others. Boba slowly raised his hand, and when the first shuttle extended a ramp and 2 battle droids trundled out carrying a large box between them, Boba gave the signal for his team to move forward.
Carefully, quietly, they each took their position.
Ventress had never felt more alive. Her body was calm, under her absolute control, and her focus was laser sharp. The killing machine she could become when needed was fueled now by the heat of her anger toward Dooku. And another warm emotion she was too afraid to name. She would get Voss out. She refused to even consider any other outcome. A disc-shaped metal object came out of nowhere and clipped one of the battle droids in the head. It stumbled and fell, its head smashed beyond repair.
"Hey!"
its partner objected, turning to see who had thrown the projectile. The droid was cleanly decapitated by the disc as it circled back toward its owner, and its head toppled off its shoulders. Embo extended a hand and snatched his flat, broad-brimmed hat.
Mr. Balotelli,
he said smugly. Lots Razi had positioned herself near the second ship. As the droids emerged, she quickly cracked her grappling boa. In her expert hands, the boa coiled around a hapless, squeaking droid like the snake for which it was named. In a series of moves that looked more like a dance than a fight, Lots snared one, whipped it around her, and deposited it at the feet of Highsinger. The bounty hunter cheerfully crushed the enemy droid beneath his metal feet. The air was filled with multicolored bolts. Fett took out a pair of other droids, while Bossk scrambled atop one of the shuttles. He fired a repeating blaster, laughing gleefully as he mowed down battle droids and finally targeted one of the shuttles. It exploded in a very satisfactory manner, leaping flames and oily tendrils of black smoke climbing into the air. Even the battle droids would notice that, Ventress thought. And sure enough, at least 12 of them scurried out of the entrance to the palace's lower levels.
"It's clear," Ventress called to Fett. "I'm going in."
"We'll hold the droids here,"
Fett shouted back.
"But you've only got 15 minutes, understand?"
"I'll be quick," Ventress said.
She sprinted for the open doors.
15 minutes!
Fett yelled after her. Silently, swiftly, Ventress hastened through the dimly lit hallways. Here, deep inside the well-fortified heart of Dooku's palace, was where the Count kept his prisoners. She remembered precisely where the cells were, and what went on inside them. There had been a time when she herself had participated in interrogations that were, in the end, merely an excuse to inflict pain. No one was ever released, whether or not they provided useful information. She could only hope that Voss was still alive. The sound of metallic feet marching reached her ears. Ventress leapt straight up, using the shadows in the corners as cover. She found hand and footholds and waited. Six armed droids hurried through the corridor, doubtless alerted to the ruckus outside. Ventress dropped directly on top of one, ripped off its head, and flung it at one of its companions. Deftly, she executed a handspring and came up kicking out with both feet, using the force to empower the strike. The droids slammed into the walls and collapsed like puppets with their strings cut. Activating her lightsaber... No, Voss's lightsaber. Ventress turned to the remaining three. One had recovered enough to fire at her, but she batted back the bolts as she were swatting an annoying insect. In one smooth motion, she sprang, sliced, and three heads went rolling. Ventress dropped to a crouch, listened, and moved on. Turning left at the next corridor junction, she raced down the long hall. At the end was a huge metal door, flanked by controls. This was the entry to the cell area. Ventress paused for a heartbeat to steady herself, then pushed the button. The door slid open, just as two droids turned the corner to enter the hallway.
Hey,
said one of them.
You're not supposed to...
Ventress knocked one arrow, let it fly, and loosed a second. The droids didn't even have a chance to open fire. She pressed on. Two more droids approached, carrying battle staves. Ventress didn't even slow her pace, running straight toward them as they charged at her, brandishing and whirling their staves. At the last moment, she veered, ran up the wall, flipped in midair, and seized one of the staves. For a moment, Ventress balanced atop it with one hand, sizing up the droids' positions. Then she dropped with precise control, flipping so she held the weapon in both hands. The droid that was still armed began to attack. With a single quick motion, Ventress sent its stave flying and slammed her own, first into one droid, then the other. Pieces of them clanged to the ground. Ventress dropped the weapon and entered the cell section. The cells were all empty. Dooku must have finished with the prisoners he remembered and not replenished his stock.
Except for Voss.
She ran down the hallways, glancing left and right into each cell. Rounding the corner, he knelt, his back to her. His back was bowed, and his body shook, as if with sobs.
Voss!
Ventress cried brokenly, slamming the controls with her palm and deactivating the force field. He froze, but didn't turn around. A lump rose in her throat. Slowly, Ventress stepped forward, reaching out to touch his shoulder.
It's me, Voss. I came back for...
Still without turning, Voss lifted a hand and clenched his fist. Ventress shot into the air. Invisible fingers strangled her. Blood pounded in her ears as she clawed futilely at her throat, struggling to force words out.
Quinlan! No!
You... a liar and a murderer. Chapter 25.
Ventress had feared for his life, but now a fresh terror surged through her. Voss knew the truth. Dooku had revealed it to him. She had vowed to tell him herself when this was all over. But for Voss to have heard it from Dooku...
Quinlan!
Ventress rasped. Her vision was starting to go dark around the edges.
Listen to me!
Shut up!
Now Voss rose, his back still toward her. Every line of his body was taut with tension.
I am done with listening to your lies!
I warned about this!
A moment longer, and she would black out. If he didn't crush her windpipe first... Ventress struggled to get the words out while she still could.
You need to... tap into the darkness, but not let it consume you.
Like you let it consume you? When you killed my master?
Voss flung her away from him, hard. She slammed into the stone floor and slid, coughing and gasping for breath. As quickly as she could, Ventress got to her feet and her heart shattered inside her chest. Boss's eyes were no longer a warm, rich brown. They were a blood-rimmed shade of yellow.
I trusted you!
His voice shook as he raged.
I believed you! And everything you said, everything you promised me, everything I thought I meant to you and believed we could have together, it was all a lie!
No!
The word was almost a sob.
I...
Voss extended a hand. Across his palm lay a lightsaber hilt. Ventress recognized it. Despair and horror filled her as she realized what it meant, both for herself and for him. Voss now knew, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that Ventress had coldly executed his master. But Dooku hadn't told him. The Count, in the depths of his cruelty, had made Voss find it out for himself. Voss had told her how his psychometry affected him. He received input from sight, sound, and emotions. The Order did not approve of Jedi using such a skill to handle weapons of violence, as the wielder's feelings could be sensed, and those emotions could lay a Jedi bare to the power of the dark side.
Oh, Quinlan,
she said brokenly, aching with compassion.
Don't you dare lie to me now, Asajj Ventress,
Voss snarled. She looked up at his Sith yellow eyes again, and this time she saw tears on his cheek. Impulsively, she reached out to him, stepping forward. With a snap hiss, Tholme's lightsaber sprang to life, and Voss charged. Ventress was barely able to activate her own lightsaber and bring it up in time to prevent him from slicing her head off. Faster than she had ever seen him move before, even when she had pressed him on Dathomir, Voss twisted, and her blade slid off his. He rained blow after blow, his teeth bared in a snarl, forcing Ventress back down the corridor. Voss had been a Jedi Master, and while she had defeated such before, the battle was never easily won. Now those skills were augmented by a dark side that had greedily feasted on his pain and rage. It seemed to her that his blows were effortless, and he did not tire. Ventress had to reach him, somehow. Voss was drunk with this new power, unfettered as she was by the thought of striking a lethal blow. While she was only attempting to either knock him out or seize his lightsaber, he wanted her dead.
You used me!
He shrieked. Left, right, left he struck, and she parried, feeling the jarring of her arm. Their blades sizzled, the two green blades striking sparks off each other.
You came to me,
Ventress reminded him.
You asked for my help. The Council!
Voss bellowed, springing back and shoving hard with his left hand. Ventress was hurled backward, slamming into the unforgiving stone wall.
They all warned me you were out for yourself. And you were! You didn't care about me at all!
Her head was ringing, but Ventress got to her feet. She leapt toward Voss, landing behind him and kicking at the back of his knee. He hadn't been expecting it and stumbled. She seized the arm that held the lightsaber and yanked it back, trying to force him to drop it.
If that were true, Ventress said, pleading, if I didn't care, then why am I here? Why did I risk my life to come back for you?
For a moment, a faint shadow of doubt flickered across his features, and he ceased struggling. Then, his face grew hard.
Because you needed me. You hated Dooku, and when I came along, you took advantage of it. You couldn't do it alone, but with me, you might have managed to kill your hated master. I was never anything to you but a means to an end.
The bitterness in his voice stabbed like a dagger. Her own eyes stung with tears. And in that moment, Ventress hated the dark side for what it and Dooku's torture had done to this man.
Voss, you were everything. This is the pain and the dark side speaking. This isn't who you are.
With a roar, Voss lunged forward, hurling Ventress over his head. He wrenched his arm free and whipped his lightsaber around. The tip grazed Ventress's midsection as she tried to roll away, and she cried out in pain.
It is who I am. It's who I want to be. You gave me this cup, Ventress. You made me drink from it.
It was the truth. She had pushed him in the caverns. She had forced him to kill the sleeper in cold blood. And it seemed he had learned that lesson all too well.
But you can control it. You're strong, Voss. Stronger than it is. Don't let it win. Let's leave everything. Dooku, the Jedi, everything. We can go away together. Just like we planned. Just you and me.
Run away with someone who lied to me.
The words were harsh, but Voss wasn't fighting, wasn't charging her. Even so, he held his lightsaber ready as he asked,
Why did you do it?
Hope, nearly burned to ashes, surged within her at the anguish in his tone. For this moment, there was more pain than rage in him, and the pain might just listen to her. Slowly, Ventress lowered her weapon. She was ready to defend herself, but Voss didn't move to attack. She licked her lips, took a deep breath, and spoke.
I did lie to you, and I lied to you because I was afraid.
His eyes narrowed.
You've never been afraid of anything, Asajj Ventress.
She shook her head.
You're wrong. I was terrified.
Of what?
Voss scoffed.
Of losing you.
She let the words hang there for a moment. And when Voss still appeared to be listening, she continued.
I've been lying for so long. It's second nature to me. We learned to trust each other. But what I felt, I was so scared. I was afraid to tell you about Tholm because I thought you'd hate me. I'd only just learned how to trust and care about someone again. And I couldn't bear the thought that if you really knew me, knew what I had done, you'd despise me.
Her voice broke. Voss's body posture eased. His eyes were glued to her face.
You should have trusted me, he said softly. Ventress nodded.
You're right. I should have. And even if you had left me, I'd have done the right thing. But I was too afraid. I was wrong. I am so very, very sorry.
Tears stung her eyes. Ventress let them fall. She had not wept since the slaughter of her sisters. And even then, she had grieved in solitude. Never had Ventress spoken so to another living being. Not even her beloved Jedi Master. She stood, her heart wide open, her soul naked before him. Surely he would see it, even through the darkness that clouded his mind. Surely he would understand what this meant. Quinlan Voss knew her in a way no one else ever had. He would see and understand. The yellow hue faded from his eyes. And he blinked.
Asajj,
he whispered.
I brought your lightsaber back to you,
she said.
Yours. I kept it safe for you, just like I did on Dathomir. Don't let Dooku use Tholm to divide us. I wish I could, but I can't change the past. I just want a future with you.
It was the wrong thing to say. Voss looked down at the blade he held, and his beloved face turned ugly with hatred. The awful yellow hue returned to his eyes as he looked back up at her.
That, Voss growled, is the worst lie of all.
Shattered, Ventress rolled out of the way as he leapt at her, bringing up her blades in a frantic parry as he forced her around the corner. She called his name again and again, but Voss was now deaf to any plea she might utter. Ventress realized that he would not stop until he had killed her. And for one brief moment, she wanted him to. It would be easier than living without him, knowing that this was where she had unwittingly led him. No, she would not give up. She would not let Dooku and the dark side have him. With his fury-fueled attacks, Vos forced her to retreat back toward the exit, and Ventress let him do so. She understood now that he was too far gone to be talked into accompanying her willingly. But if she could bring the fight back out into the open, she might be able to maneuver him toward Fett and the others. The aid of even one of the bounty hunters might be enough to subdue Vos and drag him onto one of the ships. Even though she retreated deliberately, Vos's attack demanded every bit of her focus. He seemed to grow stronger, his attacks more powerful, while Ventress had to draw on everything she had simply to stay alive. Vos barely even seemed to need to breathe, and he threw everything he had at the woman that, Ventress knew in her heart, he had once cared for so deeply. As they turned another corner, Ventress nearly stumbled over the debris of a battle droid she had torn apart but a few moments before. Vos shot out a hand. Several pieces of broken metal rose in the air. Grunting, Vos gestured, and they all launched themselves at Ventress. She sliced the torso in half with her lightsaber, used the force to deflect various limbs, and dived out of the path of two severed heads. Ventress landed on her feet and immediately brought up her weapon to deflect the blur of Tholm's lightsaber. She used the force to shove it and Vos back and kept retreating. It seemed like an eternity before Ventress saw that the dimness of the corridors was growing brighter. Hope surged in her as she realized that they were close to the exit. The emotion made her careless. She found herself suddenly lifted and flung backward out the door. Ventress sailed through the air for several meters, landing hard and awkwardly, and for a wild moment was unable to rise. Then, someone grabbed her arm and hauled her to her feet.
"Where's your friend?"
Fett demanded. Ventress turned back to the doorway. Quinlan Vos stood there, his cruel face illuminated by the glow of a dead man's lightsaber. Behind him followed a host of battle droids. Ventress pointed at Vos. "There," she said brokenly.
"That's your friend?"
Suddenly, Vos's head whipped to the side. Following his gaze, Ventress saw something thoroughly unexpected. Count Dooku, trapped in some sort of webbing, lying on the ground with Bosk's blaster aimed at his head. Vos threw Ventress one final hate-filled glance, then turned and raced to Dooku. The droids followed Vos obediently, firing at the bounty hunters.
"Go!"
Fett shouted, gesticulating toward one of the shuttles. They needed no second urging. Bosk turned his head as he ran, snapping at Dooku over his shoulder in frustration, but followed Embo, Heisinger, and Lots up the ramp of the nearest shuttle. Embo motioned to Fett and Ventress to hurry up.
"Come on, No Name!"
I can't leave!"
Her gaze was riveted on Vos, who had freed Dooku from the netting and was now helping him up. He glanced up, perhaps feeling her gaze, and said something to Dooku. They stood side by side, a team, a master and an apprentice. The sight was so devastating that Ventress barely registered that six battle droids were now racing toward them. Vos smiled.
"We have to go!"
Boba yelled. He seized her hand and started running, dragging Ventress along with him. Together they raced up the ramp, which started to close the second they set foot on it. The shuttle had already lifted off as Ventress and Fett flung themselves inside. Ventress went to the viewport, hoping against hope to see some signal from Vos that told her that he was only pretending, that this was all some kind of bizarre act. All she saw was the two former Jedi Masters, once so different, but now united by the darkness, staring impassively up at the departing ship. Ventress looked away, no longer able to bear the sight. Her gaze fell on Fett, who removed his helmet and dragged a hand across his sweating face.
You could have left me behind,
she said quietly. He nodded.
Yeah, I could have.
But I'm not you.
The words cut Ventress in ways Fett couldn't even imagine.